Amen. We're continuing our look at the road to Emmaus, a faith that causes heartburn. I think I may have sold this sermon title to someone. They were so amazed by it. They said, can I use that? I said, sure, $25. If you'd like to follow us in the scriptures, in your Bible, you can find us in chapter 24 of Luke, and we're looking at verses 13 through 35. You can follow along in your Bible. We also have them up here for you. So let's get going. Let me kind of reacquaint us with the two disciples, okay? We'll not take long at this, but we're going to, you know, we need to remember where we've come from if we're going to better understand where we're going. These two disciples are on the Emmaus Road after the events of Christ's crucifixion and resurrection. They had traveled to Jerusalem for a lot of reasons. One of them, an important one of them, and maybe the pinnacle of them, was to be with Jesus. They were followers of Jesus. They were believers in Jesus. However, they're leaving Jerusalem in their minds and their hearts without Jesus because he has been high and lifted up, as we sang, and he has given his life in atonement for my sins and for your sins. And so they're discouraged. They were disciples. Two of their sons were disciples. Two of their grandsons were disciples. I mean, they were all in on Jesus and his ministry. And they were traveling on the Emmaus Road. We talked about why they were on the road, and my best speculation is that they were on their way home to Galilee because that's where Jesus was from. And we talked about that there's two disciples on the road, and it could be two men, it could be, but it could be a husband and wife. I think that's the more probable, but it doesn't matter. Two disciples on a road, they're heartbroken, they're distressed. And while they're walking along the road, talking about the events, a third person joins them. And they don't recognize who the third person is. Now we know that it's Jesus, a resurrected Jesus, an embodied Jesus. And they did not recognize him. We talked about whether they were divinely hindered from recognizing him. I don't think that they were. They didn't expect to see Jesus. Why? Because in their minds and their hearts, he's dead. They just didn't see him. But what they also didn't recognize was who Jesus completely was. They said that Jesus was a prophet, and he was. That he was mighty indeed, and he did. He healed the blind and the lame and resurrected the dead. He was mighty in word. He taught like no one ever taught before or after. He's mighty in fellowship. This cat could build a crowd. And he was mighty in the sight of God. All those things were true. But they never saw him as Messiah for who he really was. They saw him in part, but they didn't see him in total. Because their response was, we saw all these things. We believed all these things. We were motivated by all these things. We were following Jesus for all these things. But the afterbirth experience. Hey, I'm really sorry I hurt your feelings, but nope, doesn't work. Listen, I could go a long way and crack myself up, but they believed a lot of things that were true, but Jesus was not as mighty as the priests and the rulers because they took his life. Now, humanly speaking, that's a perfectly easily understandable thought. Biblically speaking, it's not true. They didn't take his life. Jesus laid down his life. He surrendered his life. Please, please, don't ever allow yourself to buy into that lie. Not one man, not one principality, not one power, not one anything could take Jesus' life. He laid upon that cross voluntarily. Why? For you. For you. How was it hard for them to see that? Well, my friends, look at the testimony we have, and sometimes we find it hard to believe too. So let's pick up and let's remind ourselves what the scripture says. And behold, on that very day, two of them were going to the village named Emmaus, which was 60 stadia from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other all about the things that had taken place. Now let's look at the traveler's companion. This is Jesus, we know now. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself approached to begin traveling with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are these words that you are exchanging with one another as you are walking?" And they came to a stop and they looked sad. You know, it's hard for us to not display what's going on in our hearts. Some of us have a good poker face. Most of us do not. So they were wearing their emotions on their faces. And one of them, Cleophas, answered and said, "Are you possibly the only one living near Jerusalem who doesn't know about these things that happened here in these days?" And he asked them, "Well, what sort of things?" And they said to him, "Those about Jesus the Nazarene, who proved to be a prophet, mighty in deed and in word and in the sight of God and in all people, and how the chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Instead, and beside all these things, it is now the third day since these things happened. But also some women among us left us bewildered when they went to the tomb early in the morning and did not find his body. They came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who had said he was alive. And some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just exactly as the women had said, but him they did not see." And then he said to them, "You foolish people and slow of heart to believe in all the prophets had spoken to you." Now let's look at the teaching companion. We see a traveling companion. Now let's look at the teaching companion. "Was it not necessary for Christ to suffer these things and to come into his glory? Then beginning with Moses and with all the prophets, he explained to them the things written about himself in the scriptures." Jesus' response to these two individuals, right where they were, right in their doubt, right in their heartache, right where they were in the depths of their valley, is a beautiful thing. Isn't it? You know, I thought about how Jesus could have responded. Well, he could have been angry. "You knuckleheads, do you not know any better?" I mean, that's fair, right? Yeah. Have you ever wanted to say that to someone you love? "You knucklehead, don't you know any better?" Sure. He could have been angry. He could have been belittled them. And you know, he could have abandoned them. "Well, if you don't believe in me, then you know what? I don't believe in you. I wash my hands of you." He could have done all those things, but he didn't. He didn't. He chose to meet them where they were and to reassure them. Now, here's the question we want answered this morning, is where did Jesus, the resurrected Savior of the world, take them for comfort? Well, of course, he took them to Starbucks. Do you know where I like to be taken for comfort? Make note, steak. Sorry, Tanya. If you ever wonder, man, I really want to comfort Jesus, where are we going? Steak. No, where do we take people when we're trying to come from them? There's a lot of places, and there's a lot of good places, okay? But Jesus, the risen Son of God, our Savior, took them where? To God's Word. God's Word is always the best place. Amen? Because it does not change. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we, as believers, with all the tools that we have, with all the skills that we have, with everything, we have to be very careful. We should always begin with the Word. We should always begin with the Word. So let's look quickly. Let's look at the witness of the Word as Jesus encouraged them. There were prophecies that preceded Jesus. These were teachings that said, one day these events are going to take place, and when these events take place, the person fulfilling these events, that's the Messiah. That's the one you're looking for, okay? Now, wouldn't we all love things to be that easy? So let's look at the prophecies real quick, and we're going to look at all of them. There's only like 140, so it's okay. The prophecy, I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all the peoples of the earth will be blessed through you. This is the Abrahamic covenant. God called a man to faith and obedience. Abraham did it. Did Abraham do it perfectly? No. That's a whole different sermon. But Abraham and his wife followed God and were obedient by faith. And guess what? God did it. He did exactly what he said. Here's the fulfillment. And you are heirs of the prophets and of the covenant of God made with your fathers. He said to Abraham, dun, 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 through your offspring, all peoples on earth will be blessed. When God raised up his servant, he sent him first to you to bless you by turning each of you from your wicked ways. Who is that servant? It's Jesus. From all the way back to Father Abraham, from all the way back from the get, God made a promise. And guess what? He fulfilled that promise. Now, let's look at a few prophecies that, you know, if you've been around church a little while, you're a little more familiar with. A virgin will give birth, and his name will be Emmanuel, God with us. Hello, Christmas. He will be, the Messiah will end up in Egypt. Joseph and Mary and Jesus, let's just say they took a little hiatus and got out of town. Yeah, I love those commercials, want to get away. Have you ever wanted to just get away? Yeah. Well, they did, just like the Bible said. The Christ will be born in Bethlehem, just like Jesus was. Jesus will have a sinless, blemish-free life and ministry, and he did. That's another unnegotiable. Listen, the moment you buy into the idea that Jesus might have sinned, my friend, he's no longer sinless, and he's no longer your Savior, and you're lost. Well, but Jimmy, I mean, he's all human. Yeah, but he's all God too. Don't go down that path. It's a lie of the devil. Lastly, Jesus would teach in parables. How about this? Listen, you're going to eat my body and drink my blood. We sang about it this morning. His body the bread, his blood the... I'm replacing you, Chief. His blood the wine. You want to trade? Baby, we can have Boxing Day right now. Can you imagine what that must have sounded like in the ears of those people? Oh, yeah, you know, listen, if you want to be really like a part of me, you got to eat my body and drink my blood. There's still people today that think Christians, well, that's, anyway. The Messiah would be a stone, Jeff, would be a stone that caused people to stumble, and it looks like I misspelled stumble. He will be a holy place for both Israel and Judah. He will be a stone that causes people to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. And for the people of Jerusalem, he will be a trap and a snare. 1 Peter, now to you who believe, this stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, this stone the builders rejected has become a cornerstone and a stone that causes people to stumble and a rock that causes them to fall. They stumble, why? Because they disobey the message. Christ is a stumbling block. And Jeff, you're spot on. When Jesus says, I'm the only way, not everyone likes that. And no, here's the truth, is not every believer likes that. It's hard. That's a hard truth. It can be a stumbling block. The Messiah would be preceded by a forerunner. You guys remember that little sermon series by a marginal pastor who said, a faith worth losing your head over? Yeah. Look at this. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain made low. The rough ground shall become level, and a rugged places shall become a plain. John tells us this. John replied in the words of Isaiah the prophet, I am the voice of the one calling in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. There will be a voice, and the person that voice points to will be the Messiah. You remember John? Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Jesus would be despised and rejected. Sounds like It sounds like the USA in 2022. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain, like one from whom people hide their faces. He was despised, and we held him in low esteem. Luke records this. All the people of the synagogue were furious when they heard this. They got up, they drove him out of town and took him to the brow of the hill on which the town was built in order to throw him off the cliff. Everybody knew Jesus. That's a boy from Nazarene. That's my boy. That's my hometown boy. He gets up in church, Jewish church synagogue, and he says some things and they go, oh, that's offensive to me. Oh, I can't believe he'd say that. Oh, and they decide, guess what? Well, I tell you what, I'm going to go see if Jesus wants to go out for a cup of coffee, and maybe we can talk through this. No, no. Hey, I think I'm going to invite Jesus for steak. No, didn't do that. K-bombs. I think like three of us get that. No, I tell you what we'll do. Let's kill him. Does that sound like anywhere today? You just put something on your soch and see how that go. Can I tell you this? I have never deleted, never blocked, or never reported a single person ever on any of my social medias. Why? It's called social media for a reason. And how can I engage if I close the door and burn the bridge? No, Jesus, we're just not digging what you're saying, so I think we'll just kill you. How about this? Jerusalem will rejoice as the Messiah comes to her upon a donkey. Hello. We call it Palm Sunday. He will be betrayed for 30 pieces of silver. Man, they hit that one right on, didn't they? Christ will be our Passover lamb. We talked about that. The Messiah's blood will be spilled for atonement. His blood was spilled not for his sin, but for yours and for mine. The price that is required. Without the shedding of blood, there could be no remission of sin. That's what the Bible says. And Jesus shed his blood for the remission of my sin. And Jesus will be lifted up. And we know the crucifixion. He will conquer death. And that's very important here. Because if he didn't conquer death, he's just dead. And so are we. On this mountain, we will destroy the shroud that enfolds all people. The sheet that covers all the nations, he will swallow up death forever. Amen. The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. He will remove his people's disgrace from all the earth. The Lord has spoken. Corinthians gives us this. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable. Amen. Can I get an amen on that? When the perishable, who is that? That's us. Puts on the imperishable. What's that mean? To never die again. And even greater than that, can I say? Never sin or never be touched by sin. And the mortal with the immortal, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up by victory. Now let's look at the witness of the word. Now, I think we all can agree Jesus batted 1,000, can't we? I mean, you don't have to agree with me, but like my professor in college said, everyone has the right to be wrong. Jesus batted 1,000. Nay, God batted 1,000. So we see what it said Jesus would do in his coming. So now let's just take a brief look, shall we, at what he is yet to do. Based on what? Well, based on what the Southern Baptist Convention says. Based on what ALF says. Based on what Josh says. Nope. What is it that Jesus is forecasted to do? He batted 1,000 the first time. Hey, here's a spoiler alert. He's going to bat 1,000 again. Let's take a real quick look, shall we? He who testifies to these things says, I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. He says, I'm coming soon. Now, this is what we say. They've been saying that for years. It's kind of like the Cowboys in the Super Bowl. Did I say that out loud? Listen, every generation does this. Well, they've been saying that. Come on, when are you going to give up? Listen, he says, I'm coming soon. Now, what does soon mean? Well, soon is relative. Why? Because our God and Savior Jesus Christ doesn't live inside a time clock. God exists outside of time. Your watch has no bearing on God. In fact, I don't really see that God understands the concept of time. I think when he speaks to time, he's just given us something to put hands on. But he says, I'm coming soon. Well, when soon? I don't know, but I can tell you this. It's 24 hours sooner than it was this time yesterday. I'm a genius. We live in a finite amount of time, and not a single one of us knows how much we have. And yet, we want to look to an eternal God who has had prophecies on the books and fulfilled for thousands of years, and we go, well, we don't believe he's coming. Why? Well, we don't have the time. The arrogance of humanity. The Bible says he's coming. And let me just help you out with this. If the Lord tarries his coming, we still will all see Jesus in our own generation because we're all going to him. Now, he may come back for all of us at once. Amen. Or we may all go to him one at a time. Amen. But we will see Jesus. You see, when is he coming? We don't know. Either he's coming to us or we're going to him. But my friends, there will be a meeting in your lifetime. Do not forget this one thing, dear friend. With the Lord, the day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. Have you ever been in that class in school? Have you ever been in that conversation with someone? Have you ever been in that sermon? Don't you dare. Don't you dare. Like I said, my friends, the God and Savior Jesus Christ doesn't work on the human time. A day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. Now, in the midst of our valleys, that can seem like a long, long time. But you know, on the flip side of that, one day heaven and 1,000 years is like a day. That means I can preach for like a whole day. There might be preachers, Ronnie. There's going to be preachers. We just don't know what we're going to do. So you also must be ready. Why? Because the Son of Man will come at an hour that you do not expect him. Now, you know, it's interesting. There's actually been people who have thought that if we prophesy, air quotes, that Jesus is coming every second of every day, then he won't come because no man knows the hour of the day. That's hogwash. That's the most ridiculous excuse I've ever heard. My friends, Jesus is coming at a time you don't expect. When will that be? I'm just going to speak for me. I can't speak for you. I'm going to speak for me. My deepest desire is that I am doing righteous things. I pray to the Lord that his return doesn't occur in that moment that I am being less than unrighteous. Less than righteous. So listen, if you're ever struggling with maybe a chosen sin, just ask yourself, do I want to be doing this when Jesus comes? It seems kind of silly, but it seems kind of good. You know, when I was a teenager, I asked myself, do I want to be doing this if my dad walks up? Changes a lot of thoughts. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. You say, oh, yeah. And see, right now you're already seeing some televangelist or something. You know, you think you know who they are. First of all, you don't know them all. Secondly, let me say this. They're not all preachers. The people that tell you, there's not a God. The people that tell you, oh, come on, don't be so rigid. There's a lot of roads to God. There's a lot of roads to Dallas, so there's a lot of roads to God. There is no Jesus. There is no life after death. You have all the time in the world. You sow those oats. And one day when you get older and an adult, then you can. There's wolves everywhere. And anything that tells us to do anything less than what the Scripture calls us to, that's out of the mouth of a wolf, my friend. And they might stand real close to you. They're out there, and they're looking for a snack. And that snack might be you. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion. What? Until the day of Christ Jesus. Guess what? Jesus doesn't leave nothing half done. Amen? Can we give the Lord that? How many half-done things do you? Now I'm poking. Pam's got a great big old smile. I don't know what she's got half done. I mean, she's got her toes pulled in and everything. Listen to me. I don't know about you, but I look around my world and I think, good Lord, is this not half done? I look at the news and I look at social media and can we just agree the world seems to have completely lost its bananas? But God and his son Jesus Christ never leaves anything half done. I know I'm not done. There's still room, a lot of room, for God's transformation in my life. God is going to finish his work in me. God's going to finish his work in you. And God is going to finish his work in this world. That, Jeff, like you mentioned earlier, we get the privilege to be a part of. But understand this. Jesus isn't going to have to do anything. Amen? Amen. Look, for I am coming soon, and my reward is with me, and I will give each person according to what they have done. Now, this is something I love. Is we all understand about the great white throne judgment. That's where Jesus goes, I never knew you. That's terrifying. That's a terrifying thing. I think I would rather stand there as a rank pagan hating Jesus than to stand there and think Jesus and I were right. And Jesus goes, I don't know you. That'd be terrifying. Be like my bride. You know, well, Jimmy, I don't know you. I digress. Listen, for those who step into eternity without Jesus as their Savior, there is an eternal punishment. Why? For the wages of sin is death. What we earn, we will pay for. Someone will be held accountable for sin. Either Jesus' cross or us. That's the only two. Now, I'm trusting that most of you, hopefully all of you, are not on that side. The great white throne is not your destination. That being said, brothers and sisters, we will stand before the Lord and give an account. The Bible tells us that our lives, our works, will be judged by fire, and that which is wood, hay, and stubble, that's what? The stuff that doesn't really matter? That's the stuff where you separate fellowship from someone because they wear shorts to church and you wear a suit. All that kind of, garbage, all gets burned up. And only the things that are righteous and godly will remain. Will there be people who will be in heaven who had nothing survive the fire? Unfortunately, yeah, I think so. Now, I say unfortunately not because I don't love them and God doesn't love them. I say this is, I'd sure hate to stand before Jesus and have nothing to give him. And to realize that I wasted, squandered my one and only life on wood, hay, and stubble. I get to walk through heaven smelling like smoke, be disappointing. I hope then I have a lot to give my Savior, because my Savior gave everything for me. So listen, let us not fall into the lie that we don't have a judgment. We do have a judgment before us. It's a different judgment, but there is a judgment. And for those of us, myself being one, and Josh and Jeff and others, we have a double judgment. God says He'll hold us into a double account. And I just want you to know, it makes me tremble. But it's something that I happily accept. And B, it's something that I happily desire to live up to. If you are a pastor and you don't live with fear and trembling, I don't know. Anyway, for we must all appear before God, before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us may receive what is due for the things they have done while in the body, whether good or bad. I'm so good, I jumped ahead of that. So now the question that begs to be asked is this. In the great words of a sports announcer, are you ready? One of us in this room could stand before Jesus today. Could be me. And let me just tell you this. If it's me, amen. Preached in the morning, saw Jesus in the evening. Be great. And let me also say this. I've had everything a man could ever hope in his life. That being said, are you ready? As a believer, are you striving with the Lord? Are you striving with the Lord? Or are you carrying the chains of sin in your life? It may be time to confess that sin. Jeff mentioned this morning. Now, I will give him credit. He gave me credit. Listen, there's only two things we do with sin. Repent or justify. That's all there is. My friends, if you are carrying the chain of sin around your waist and your neck, repent or justify. And you don't want to stand before Jesus with that. Why? You don't have to. Amen? You don't have to. Come unto me, all who are heavy laden. Repent. Now, there could be someone in this room, someone with us on the internet, someone who will listen to this podcast somewhere in the world, and you've never met Jesus on His terms. You've never accepted Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. You've never traded your sinfulness for His righteousness. You are still fully accountable for your sins. And if you step into eternity with it, it's all yours forever and forever. But guess what? You don't have to. It could be today is your day that you step to Jesus and you're forgiven of your sins and you're saved by His grace and you're transformed from an enemy to a child. You're transformed from an eternal life apart from God in a place the Bible calls hell to a place of eternity with God in a place called heaven. Today can be that day. Right now can be that day. Are you ready? If Jesus comes today, and He may, are you ready? Or you may go to Him today. Are you ready? Let's bow our heads just for a moment. I would be absolutely liable if I didn't give you an opportunity to respond. My friend, are you ready? Do you know Jesus as your personal Savior? Have you traded your sinfulness for His sinlessness? Is He your Savior? Are you His child? And if yes, is there a chain of sin in your life that you need to have broken and removed? Right now, if that's you, my friend, on the computer screen in your mind, you see it. You know exactly what the Lord is speaking of. My friend, as you look at that and you know what it is, the only question on the table is, what will you do with it? Will you repent and be forgiven? Or will you justify and keep carrying it? My friend, that choice is yours. Why? Because Jesus paid it all. And He paid for that too. If you will humbly repent. Or, my friend, it may be your day. You've never received Jesus as your Savior. Maybe no one has ever even spoken to you about that concept. Or maybe the only thing anyone has ever said to you about church and faith and the Bible have been negative and derogatory and tainted by their experiences. My friend, all of those are true and valid. But my friend, don't allow that to cause you to miss heaven. Don't allow that to cause you to miss a personal relationship with God through His Son, Jesus. Sometimes there can be a lot of obstacles. And I'm not saying that they're not real. I'm simply saying they're not worth missing Jesus for. And the reason I know that is I had to climb over a lot of those obstacles. And I think today, and I said earlier a little jokingly, but I mean it, is I'm so glad God gave me the time and the opportunity and the faith, or I would have missed out on everything and heaven too. My friend, today could be the best day of your life. And if that's you, I would love to give you a chance, an opportunity to simply speak to God from your heart to His heart and share your desire for His desire. If you're here today and you'd say, Jimmy, I want to know what it's like to have peace. Peace inside myself, peace with the God of this universe. Lord, Jimmy, I want to know what it's like to know unconditional love and forgiveness. Jimmy, I have a hole in my soul that I have tried to fill in every way I know how, but yet it remains unfilled. My friend, my recommendation to you is this, is that hole is Jesus. And the reason I know that is I had that same hole. And if that's you today, the Bible says in Acts, repent and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out and that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. My friends, you are standing in a desert, but you're on the precipice of an oasis. It'll take courage. And my friend, let me tell you up front, to follow Jesus is not all roses, but it's worth it. My friend, to follow Jesus doesn't mean that you'll be sinless, but it's worth it. My friends, following Jesus doesn't mean that you won't experience heartache and uncertainty and pain in this world. My friend, but it's worth it, because all those things with Jesus is far and exceedingly better than walking that valley without Him. Will you have the courage today? If I were you today and I were going to pray, I'd pray something like this. Dear God, I admit that I'm a sinner, and there's nothing I can do to save myself. I confess my complete helplessness to forgive my own sin or to work my way to heaven. At this moment, I trust Jesus alone as the one who bore my sin when He died on the cross. God, I ask for your forgiveness, only the forgiveness only you can offer. And I ask your Son, Christ Jesus, to be my Savior. Help me to know you and to love you more day by day. And give me a home in heaven when my life on earth is through. My friend, if that is you, the Bible says, by faith through grace are you saved, not of works, lest any man should boast. My friend, that is you. The prayer didn't save you. The faith is the salvation. And you can walk out of here, or you can walk away from that monitor at your home or on your office place or in your car different than you began. And I say amen. I would ask you, my friend, if you would please share that decision with me. If you're here in the auditorium today, would you share that with me? Just, if you'll just slip your hand up where I can see it. We'll not embarrass you. I'll not come and call you out, I promise. But just, you say, Jimmy, that's me. Today, I've exchanged my sinfulness for Christ's sinlessness. Would there be anyone? For those of you with us or online, if that's you, if you'd drop me a note, that would bless me beyond blessed. And it'd give me an opportunity to celebrate with you. Now, please, let us always remember, the invitation of God only closes when our eyes close to this world. And my friends, the challenge gets harder if Jesus returns for his church. Behold, today is the day of salvation, the Bible says. My friend, don't wait. Father, I thank you for today, and I thank you for Jesus. Lord, I thank you for his grace and his mercy. And God, I thank you that he meets us right where we are. And Lord, that his truth is your truth. That your word is the word. And Lord, that your word is unchanging yesterday, today, and forever. And Lord, in a world that changes by the moment, we have a safe place. We have a sure harbor in your word. Father, let us, the church, always anchor in your harbor. And Father, let us, the church, as we sail out into the storms of this life and help redeem ships that are sinking and on the rocks of life, Lord, help us to tow them back to the safe harbor that is your word. For your word saves and transforms. Father, we love you today. We thank you that even on our Emmaus Road, Jesus is with us. Father, help us to be on the road with others, to love, to encourage, to guide, and provide. And we will give you the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.